Channel 2 over and a continuation of the visit of Ms. Guthrie on Friday the 2nd of October 1970, Friday the 2nd of October 1970. Now, we took a break. We went out to see Ajax and one thing or another. And now we're back inside for a bite of lunch, a bite of lunch. And she protested, and we said we just had to sit down and eat. She had to eat, too, so it wasn't taking long over here, and we're at home. And she came on in, and she liked that salad. That salad Faye made. This is Channel 2 over, Channel 2 over, and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Guthrie on Friday, the 2nd of October, 1970, Channel 2 over, and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Guthrie on Friday, the 2nd of October, 1970.
Well, I wouldn't fix anything.
I'm not. Just going to warm it up. That's all it's good.
We'll just sit down here and get a breath a minute. Not much fun eating much.
Marvin got his truck to bring in. Big truck?
Yes.
You know, that's one of my problems here, to get somebody to help me on that mechanics. At that time, now you take that old red car of mine now. Butcher's got it over there and he can't get it. He won't go ahead and fix it.
Yeah, you know, that's the reason why Marvin goes ahead and works on ours. It's because, just as people as that. Well, I heard that he was working on, he garden convicts.
Buster?
That's what Marvin told me.
I hadn't heard about it. He was working on my car yesterday.
He was? Someone told Marvin, and I don't know who it was, but Marvin told me it was last week, and he heard Buster was a garden convict.
Well, I tell you, Buster told me he had a narrow escape. He almost took that paper route for a while over here. The man that had it wanted to go off somewhere. And he offered to take it for 2 or 3 months, you know, just for a change.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said he found out Smitty down here, Carl Smith, had that junkyard down there. He took it, and he said he had losing money on it. Because he'd keep a car up, and he said he'd have to put in a new set of brakes once a month. That much?
I wouldn't have that. That paper route? No. Because I know too many people that had it, and they told me the same thing that you told me. And wear out your tires.
Yeah. Marvin really got some good, you all really got some good hay barns over there, though.
Not too good. They need a lot of more tin put up on them.
Well, you don't need tin all around, do you?
Well, we do. We need them closed in on account of them being in the field where the cows is.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Did you ever figure how much hay they'd hold? 20
no.
tons, 30 tons, 40 tons? They'd
no.
hold a lot of hay.
That's what we need. Somebody.
Could I help you do something?
No, I'm just picking a few things here, and that's all there is to it.
Now, Marvin did them hay barns by itself.
Yes, sir.
Well, now that's pretty good coverage.
He did it all by himself. I'm going to make him build me a shelter like that and not that.
Yeah. Put cars on it.
Mm-hmm. Put the mowing machine.
Yeah.
Hay baler.
Yeah. You know, if you got a little low one like that, where you just stick your implements, They're nice. I need another one. And I've been trying to get it in. I'd go and put it over on the side, out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the sticks. I got old Hara too, and I don't use that much, but I don't want them set out and rust. And if I could just scoot them under there, you see, and then not have to work around them.
You just go on ahead and just work and work and work.
I'm just pouring you some water. I don't even have any tea for you.
We don't need any. We need to drink booze. This is booze weather. Ain't no good.
That's right. That's right.
Drink something that will improve you.
Yeah.
Spirits.
You might act like an idiot, but then you feel like a queen.
That's right. Well, this weather itself makes you feel that way, you said.
Good night, water lunch.
You know, they tell me there's just as much bootlegging going on as there ever was.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I don't run into any of it.
I don't. I wouldn't know where to go to find any of it, but.
Well, as long as they tax it like they do. I think, you see, that raises the price of it too much.
Now, I'm going to have a piece of bread, but I'd be perfectly happy for anybody to eat one of my old cold little biscuits.
Them little old puny biscuits, they ain't not big enough to taste.
Bessie said them tea biscuits.
Oh. Well, we hadn't seen Miss Daisy in a week or so. She comes around every now and then, or we see her down there.
You haven't seen her?
No. Saw the porch once. People she works for over there have come back, and I think she's over there house cleaning now. You know, Daisy seemed to have a right smart judgment. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Just plain old-fashioned judgment.
Yeah.
You think that comes from working with the white people?
It might. I really enjoyed my auntie last week. We talked day and night.
Oh, really? Aunt Nora.
Aunt Nora.
I wish I'd known she was there. I'd come over and listen to you.
Oh, she came and visited you.
Yes, ma'am. She came Wednesday and stayed till Saturday morning. She was going to stay till Sunday, but her baby girl called her up Saturday morning and said, Mother, I just can't do without you. Aunt Nora asked her, says, what you been doing? Nothing but walking the floor.
She's over there, Chiefman.
Cross City.
I guess I meant Cross City. Cross City, where your brother is?
Yes.
I didn't know just anybody could work on an animal.
You mean on a horse?
Mm-hmm. On a coon. What was you took over there? Them coons.
Oh, polecat. No, polecat. So they can't any and everybody.
Well, has he done things like that right now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's done that for people.
dog. I told you I took Woody the dog.
No, you didn't. No.
I stopped at the City Pound. We was passing that one time. And I remember you'd said that something about a dog. He got killed over there. He needed a dog. And I heard the dogs. You know, they're aren't happy in there. They're barking most of the time. So I just stopped and went in. And there was the girl who used to come out here and ride, Sue Parker. And I walked up to the desk. And I said to the young lady there, I says, I want a dog. I want a country dog. Little barking people. She sort of flinched, you know. She wasn't a country girl. And that Sue was sweeping the floor or something. And she had an animal right ready for me. She had this German Shepherd, this police dog. She raised it herself, one of her dogs. And the fellow that got it from her lived not far from there, but he had a small yard, and the dog didn't have any place to run, and broke everything. And he just, you know, just for the sake of the dog, just wanted to find another home for the dog. So, well, I didn't have a chance, you know. She knew this out here. I told her it wasn't one for me. I wanted it for Woody. She didn't hear that. She's just out in the country. That's what she heard. So I took her to him, and she's a female, and she needed to be spayed. And I was going to leave the dog there and let them work on her. No, she said, you take the dog along and see how she gets along, and then you can bring her back. Well, I'll never do it. It's a good deal of trouble for you. Just go over there and catch the dog and take her in and leave her and then go and get her and all like that. It's rather tedious. And everybody, you know, has got so many foolish things to do now, you don't do it. And Woodard won't do it. Woodard won't do it. Well, he might at that. Why don't I tell him, Faye?
Well, that's right. Did he want the dog?
Oh, he was as proud of that dog. It was a beautiful police dog.
Oh, it was.
Oh, she was smart. Oh, she's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
She just a young dog, less than a year old, had a big frame, you know, and frilla.
He said he'd never had a dog like that. He'd always wanted one.
We want a dog like that.
Well, you know, I need me a dog like that. Me there by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Lois was down the other night from Orlando, and she was telling us, said that she had one. She had it spayed. And she raised it in her trailer. And it's such a big dog, and it tore up things so bad, and she had to get rid of it. And I said, Lois, why wouldn't you bring it to me? Well, I just didn't think of it.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, I'm so sorry. I wished I had a...
Well, you go by that South Main. You just stop there at that dog pound and get you one.
They have nice dogs.
And a lot of... most of them in there, a lot of them in there, they just looking for a home for me, see?
Mm-hmm. And, you know... Most people look at one of them German Shepherd dogs and just look at them. One could become harmless and not say a word.
That's right. I would.
Mm.
Yeah.
And me out there by myself, I need something like that.
And they're so smart and they'll mind you.
Mm-hmm. I was telling Marvin about getting me one, and he said, well, we'd have to fence in the yard. Tell me what kind of salad this is.
It's Jell-O and cream cheese and cottage cheese and pineapple. It's delicious. It looks like a meat, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fruit. It looks like brown ham or something.
Was that jello?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't have many vitamins in it, and it's refreshing. And it's delicious. I mean, calories.
Well, I feel a little better.
Huss more. And feel a lot better.
That's what we used to do, you know. We just couldn't stand and leave any biscuits on the plate.
But you know, we used to have something to eat, you know. We did. We used to have plenty of sweet potatoes and sausage and ham, and I know the time I wouldn't even think about eating shoulder of meat.
Is that right?
That's right. The middlings and the ham.
Yeah.
And we use the middling mostly for breakfast bacon.
I bet you some one of these days people get back to that. It's just so much better.
We won't never go back to that, mister.
Well, now Word still has, he don't have his savings on meat, he's not able, but he got a lot of vegetables up there and sweet potatoes.
He has.
I bet it doesn't cost him anything like what it cost us to live.
Oh, no. Where is your good old darky? And you know he's getting up yonder, isn't he?
Yes, but I think it's that arthritis that's bothering me. That stuff can cramp you, hinder you if you get that. This Daisy's got a little in her feet, she said, and that makes her walk. Did she always walk that crooked way?
Ever since I knew her.
Oh, really?
That's kind of straddle.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. She's always been that way. Ever since I've known her.
Did you ever know Francis Presley?
Sure did. Mm-hmm.
Where did she live when you knew
her? Way back in the woods, back of the colored cemetery back there.
Back of the Woodard?
Yes, sir. Way back in the... You go turn off... You know where them two ponds is just before you get to the house? And go through the woods and go up in there. Her and Joe Pusley used to live there. I knew her then when she left Joe Pusley, and she lived on the McCready place. And up in there behind Mr. Boyd's, and I knew Francis a long time.
Yeah. Now, she was nice to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these colored people more interested in talk to a lot of white people.
Sure are.
Did you ever notice that?
I knew it.
Now, Mr. Patterson said he had a lot of dealings with colored people, but he never just sat down and talked to them. Mr. Patterson, you know, had the
sawmill.
Well, I never really sat down and talked to them much either, but I have done it enough to know.
Y'all finished me just sitting here cramming it in.
You cramming it in. You're a slow eater.
You know, I had as much as you, but I'm too fast.
I come and relieve Joe.
They both were just hard to get along with.
Was he a big talker?
He was a big talker, and she was too. And they fought and scrapped all the time they were together.
Yeah.
And just pussy in them.
And then, was she, what did she do when she lived back there with Joe?
Raised little niggers away back in the woods.
Go ahead and finish your lunch.
She wasn't a midwife then?
No, sir.
Well, now, most people I know think of her as a midwife.
Mm-hmm. She was hard to get along with. I have some bread. She was hard to get along with. She run her mouth too much.
She talked too much.
Talked too much.
She talked all the time, as I understand it.
Yeah. She sure did.
Now, some people who talk a lot will let up and let you talk, too. Now, Miss Daisy's like that. Because I wouldn't call her a big talker, would you?
No, I wouldn't say she was a big talker.
But Liza Washington was a big talker. But Liza just loved to stop and let you talk. She'd listen to you, too. But now... The impression I get of, see, I never saw Frances personally, but from what I hear, she never let up.
She didn't.
Well, I don't see how anybody can just do that.
And you couldn't do nothing to please her, to save you.
Oh, you couldn't.
Well, now, what dealings did you have with her?
Well, I got her to come over every once in a while and help me clean the house. And we used to have big hog killings. And Mr. Guthrie would get her to come over and help me with the hog killings. Well, I know the time we'd cook out 7 and 8 cans of lard at one time. We'd have lard to sell.
Yeah.
And we'd have to make sausage, and he'd get her to come help.
So you knew her pretty well,
mm-hmm.
then.
I didn't care for Frances.
But Miss Daisy never helped you?
No. No, sir.
Miss Annie ever helped you?
Annie Coleman? Uh-huh. No. Mm-mm.
Who else? Anybody I know help you?
No, old Aunt Martha Meekins and her girls used to do the most work for us.
Right.
Oh, really?
That's right.
How?
They live between you and Cross Creek.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And Martha, pretty good help?
The best.
Really?
The best. And she had a daughter that I had rather to go in my house and clean it up than anybody I know of.
Yeah.
And they were good honest niggers. They wouldn't take a thing in the world that belonged to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was really good. That was a good lunch.
Well, that save you time when you get home. You won't have to sit down and eat.
Sure will. I won't have to eat a bite till.
But you don't see. You haven't got any colored friends now.
Mm-mm.
Just the old timers, the ones who like to fight people. I think they lose a great deal by trying to act like white people. And not
Did y'all hear Charlie Price sing the other night?
No.
But he is some singer. He come on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
That's the best singer I ever heard.
Yeah. What time was it?
I think it was around 9:30.
I heard something about it, but I was doing something.
Boom. Charlie Price. Charlie Price.
Faye don't know anything about it. Tell her about it.
I don't know either. When he just sang.
Mm-hmm.
And he has lots of records out. He's a colored man.
Oh.
But you'd never believe it. To hear him talk and sing, you'd never believe that he was colored.
You know, Miss Anna, you remember Miss Anna Woods?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I used to go there all the time and talk to her. And her best friends, now she knew all, so she had good friends, most white people. But the one that she seemed, the two that she seemed to think the most of was Dora Mitchell and Liza Washington.
Liza Washington. Well, listen. Years ago, I was down to Evanston one day, and to come a little white girl and a little white boy in the store. You couldn't tell that they had a spot of color about them. Was this year a colored woman? And this colored woman, I think, was her grandmother. But anyway, I didn't know that the children was colored, and I made mention to Mr. Guthrie something or another about him, and he said, "Well, that's not white children." And I said, "Well, it is." And he said, "No." He said, "That's..." And I've often wondered, who were they? Have you ever heard?
Mm-hmm.
They lived down there at Evanston.
That was before our time, I guess, because
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anyone mention that.
Yeah, Miss Anna used to say she'd rather hear Liza and Dora talk. And when she felt
Dora is the one.
Lonely or blue, she always called for Dora Mitchell.
Yeah, Dora come on talk. And she worked for her. Dora worked for her, too, a long time. She used to work out in the field for him. When she come here about the same time as Daisy come, about 1923, I've heard her say when they came down from Georgia.
Well, Miss Woods must have been a wonderful woman.
Just one of the most wonderful I've ever seen.
Mr. Guthrie used to think lots of her.
Oh, did he?
Yes, sir. He used to go to Evanston to church. And he told me about he'd go and have lunch with them. I think that was after him and his family busted up.
Oh, yeah, Miss Anna. She taught Sunday school when I first come down here. The reason
mm-hmm.
the way I happened to get in touch with her. About 1916, 61. Oh, yes, she was really busy. And since she could just pick up those experiences any time, and they'd come back to her, you know, and you could just sit there and feel
mm-hmm.
like you're right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I sure miss her. I guess I miss her more than anyone else I've ever known down here, Miss Anna. Yeah. You never know what it is.
kid and put a string on it, you know. Everybody asks you, well, what is it? She's just plain old woman, country woman. Well, she was. But she had things that these town women didn't have. At least the ones I knew. And I just love to hear, she'd call it teaching the class. She said she'd hear the class, you know, she'd hear the lesson. And I just love to be there when she was hearing the lesson.
Another fine woman, I think, down there at Evanston is Ms. Johnson.
Yes.
She had a heck of a husband, but I think...
Yes.
I think she's a nice little old lady, too.
I think she's one of the nicest. Ms. Johnson's a little more, a little timid. But Miss Anna, you know, she just pick right up and say things.
Well, who is it buried up there in their yard?
At Miss Anna's?
Yes, sir.
One of their little babies.
Well, isn't her father and mother buried up there or something? Or one of her brothers?
I don't know about it if they are. That could very well be, but I wouldn't know it.
You know, I'm just thinking about Miss Mary's cows coming up in the evening. I just love to see all those cows coming up.
I would too, yeah.
I sure would. You call them and they come up.
Yeah, they come to me, you know. Mm-hmm. So they don't, sometimes they don't all of them come. It's hard to get them all bunched up. But some of them will come.
Go back over in them woods. What did they used to get back in there that they don't get anymore?
Well, they got good grass on the lake and hyacinths, and they used to just be better. We had better season and there was a better range. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for that lake, no, they'd all die.
And Mr. Guthrie wouldn't have to feed them much in the winter?
No. When we were first married, he butchered the whole winter long. And we never did feed no cows, not even to the ones we milked. We never thought about feeding a cow.
And you didn't have to fertilize any pasture?
No, sir. We didn't even have no pasture. The cows just stayed in the woods. But they burnt the woods, and the cows, the every foot of land wasn't fenced in then, and there wasn't so many highways, and there wasn't so many automobiles, and the cows just roamed wherever they wanted to. If they couldn't find a good grazing here, why, they could go over on the other side and find it. But the cows is all under fence now, you know, and these old highways has just ruined everything.
Well, how'd you know which ones were yours? Do you have to get them up?
Well, we marked and branded.
I see, yeah.
Kept them marked and branded, and it just comes natural that every cattleman knows his own cows.
That's interesting, yeah.
Now, Marvin was brought up on that too, wasn't he?
Yes. We marked... this spring we marked our calves.
Yes, I remember you saying that they were going to mark them.
Yes.
And
that's
I wanted
right.
to see,
because
I never had seen anybody do it. You know, that Billy Hughes that's got a pastor across us, his fence is lying flat down on the ground right there on that curve where our mailbox is. And I called over to Hawthorne to tell his brother about it. And I guess it was his brother's wife answered the phone, and she said he had gone away on a vacation. And I told her, I said, well, it sure needs tending to. Well, I'll have it tended to right away. And that's been over a month. And that fence is lying right there last Sunday night, 11 o'clock car come up to the house. And told us that there's some cows out down on that curb. Well, I told Marvin, I said, I know whose it is. It's Billy Hughes's, but get up and let's go run them off. And he won't do a thing anymore about it. Somebody is going to get hurt right there on that curb. Them cows going out there at night.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, he's got a pastor down there, and he ought to go down there and see about that and fix it. Me and Marvin has fixed and fixed and fixed and fenced till the post is rotted down, and we ain't got no post to go in there. And I can't afford to buy posts and put in his fence as high as post is and wire. Marvin said last night, said he reckoned he'd have to go down there and fix it.
Right on the curve.
Right on the curve, right there in our mailbox. How in the world can he get by with it?
Well, me and you couldn't.
I know I wouldn't. I'd have done been in trouble.
How long has she had cattle? A long time?
Billy? As long as I can remember him. I haven't known him too many years, but he's had that pastor a good long while.
Back to the war?
Right after the war.
And he lives in Hawthorne?
No, he lives at Keystone Heights.
Ms. Dodd said his animals just loped over their fences over there and got in there faster.
Bonnie liked to scare the life out of me one evening, and he had one in there, and her horns just set right straight up, and Bonnie went and got on that little horse and just run right up. I told her, I said, Bonnie, that cow killed that horse, and you too. I said, now you just keep that up and just... She'll think that you're going to get her too close to her. And I said, that cow will go in that horse and kill him. One of Billy Hughes's.
Oh, those big old horns.
Those big old horns. Well, I'm keeping you all from your work.
No, I just think about Billy Hughes. I just... I think it's amazing that anybody can get by with that.
He sure is.
Just amazing.
He probably doesn't come out down there to see.
If your cow got out, it'd be run over.
They most certainly would.
Or the sheriff would come out there.
Absolutely.
And get there. Well, I guess they know whose cows to run over.
Well, I've been thinking about it, but, you know, I don't know what the law would think about it, but I've been intending to call a deputy and tell him about it.
Well, you might save somebody's life.
That's just what I figure. But then it just seems like that I'm acting smart, tending to somebody else's business.
I don't
think the deputy can do anything about it.
Yes, he can. He sure can.
He can?
Yes, sir.
If he knows who they are?
He can sure do something about it.
He'd have to know who they are.
I suppose so. But you know something? You know if one of them cows was to come out down there and get on that curve and cause a wreck, Billy Hughes would no more claim that cow than nothing. Mm-mm. No, it weren't his.
And there wouldn't be any way of proving it?
No.
Just some old black cow.
Gosh. They wouldn't know whether it was mine or whether it was Billy Hughes's or Dodd's or just a stray cow got out off of somebody's truck. He wouldn't claim it. Uh-uh. No, sir. No, sir, that ain't my cow. I ain't never owned one like that.
How many of them buck nights is there left? Is that family right there where you go into...
There's them two boys and two girls.
That's all that's left?
That's all that's left. Of course, they got an uncle or two way up north if they haven't died in the last few years. But I don't know anything about them.
Yeah. Well, now, the one there, Mr. Dodge, he's... He had a bunch of dogs there for a while. I don't know whether he fishes.
Yeah, they're fishermen. Mm-hmm. All they ever done is catfish, frog hunt, and make moonshine.
Yeah.
Oh.
Catfish, frog hunt.
And make moonshine.
Yes. And you've known them since you've been down there? Ever since you've been down there? Somewhere.
Yes, sir. I knew John Henry and George when they were little bitty boys before they was ever grown.
Yeah. Now, they don't hire out like...
Oh, no. They wouldn't do a day's work. Uh-uh.
No, sir. You don't have to do a thing. I got a dishwasher.
Yeah, you need another one.
I like your dress. You do? Well, thank you, ma'am. It's 10 cents store dress.
Is that right?
Oh, I think I'll go get me some at the 10 cent store. I didn't know they had a dress.
Mr. Dodd said let him know when your pot comes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you went over there to let him know.
And he didn't even say good evening.
He's out there at that gate.
That's right, putting up a gate. Now, sit down, Dan. You've done your deal.
Well, I tell you, just as soon as you go, I'm going to have to start work, so I'm not in a hurry.
Oh, shoot.
Well, when I get home, I got to go to work. I didn't get my house cleaned up.
Yeah.
And I got to get something together for supper. You don't know what I'm going to cook.
You know, I think you figure out something.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to. We ate hamburgers yesterday.
Oh, now, Miss Mary, I couldn't imagine you eating hamburgers.
Well, we sure did.
Now, we might have to over here.
Sounded pretty good. You don't like hamburgers?
I do.
Sure. Don't you? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Well, I thought Mr. Dyer was going to help you fix your machinery.
He didn't do it, though. He said he would, but he didn't.
All them cows over there, he don't have time to fool those cows, does he?
Oh, sir.
And patience, all the patience.
Well, was Ms. Dodd out there making hay by herself?
Yes.
Raking it and...
You know, I think she was cutting it. Stir it up, you know.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
That fluffer?
No, they just take the hay rake and turn it over.
That old Pangola?
No, sir, it's not Pangola. It was Bermuda?
Yeah.
Alfalfa or something.
Yeah.
Well, she almost has to do it because he didn't get back in time to do much, I guess.
Does Marvin get home in time to do anything?
No, sir. Yes, sir.
So he ain't much good to you now?
No, sir. He's gone all the time.
Except on Saturday.
Saturdays and Sundays.
And if it rains on Saturday, then...
You might as well be at Devil's Mill Hopper.
Yeah.
Well, he has a pretty good time up there, doesn't he, say? He doesn't have to work too hard?
No, ma'am, and he's just crazy about it. He must have too good a time up there because he just can't hardly stay away from up there.
He's just like a holiday.
That's right.
You know, let me tell you one thing about him. I have noticed this. I went up to the office one day and the smoke was coming out of the building where I worked. And the fire department was the siren. And I looked at that and I said, well, you know, I don't have to do one damn thing about this. Somebody else will have to do it. And you know, it was a great relief. There they had a fire right there next door to my office, and I didn't have to worry with it, clean up after it or anything. And out here, you see.
Well, maybe that's the way Marvin feels.
Yeah.
You just sort of pass on the responsibility. It's that responsibility that keeps you humping, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, so if he cuts out the side of the house for a window, he's got to do something about it.
Well, he did. You just ought to see that hole. I told him yesterday, I said, now don't buy but one window. Because we can't afford it. So one of the windows is going to be an awning window, and the other is going to be a jalousy. But just so it keeps out the cold. When you can't do no better, you can't do no better. We're lucky to get the one window. And what happened, we put the jealous window back in there. But what happened, he set it up on the side of a dogwood tree. And the yearling went out there, knocked it down, and got on top of it, and stomped it and broke it.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, we've been wanting to get rid of them jealous winters. You just freeze to death in the wintertime with them.
Oh, let the air in.
Let the air in. But we went down to Builder Supply and we got one. And maybe by Christmas we'll be able to get the other winter in.
And Marvin leaned it up against the tree.
Uh-huh. And the yearling got out and come around there and throwed it down on the dirt and walked on it and broke one or two of the jalousies.
On it. They'll find it.
They sure will.
If it's anything to rub on, they'll find it. If anything new. You know, I leave my tractor out sometimes. And if I look out there, and every cow out there is up there rubbing on it and licking it.
Yeah.
They lick off the grease and all the washes and everything else, I guess they lick.
Well, you gotta tell me what to do with my animals, I guess.
Well, I'll just go out to the Devil's Mill Hopper and I won't have to worry about that.
I
think you need to go out there and get you a job with them boys and straighten them. They had the biggest time out there.
Yeah.
They can cook?
Yes, ma'am. Man gave them a whole set of pots not long ago.
And pots.
Frying pans.
Yeah.
Marvin said it was this, I don't know what kind of, whether it was, he don't know stainless steel from aluminum ware, but the white man's wife got her a new set, so he carried them out there and give it to them. I don't know what all was in it, I didn't see them, but Marvin said they had plenty of pots now. frying pan and pots to cook in, you know. He cooks grits and hush puppies and fries fish, and some days he'll get this year get him some beans and fix some chili. And Mr. Horn, their boss man, goes out there and eats with them.
He don't cramp that style.
Well, that's kind of job.
Out there where Marvin is, that's the prettiest place on the whole.
They have suppers out there, you know, dinners. And the wives, I said, why don't let the men folks care the wives over there? Let them sit down and be waited on one time. That just weren't logical for them to do that. And I said, well, you tell them that they ought to let them, their wives go along. I said, there's something going on out there I think ought to be looked into.
And that pet coon was named James's pet coon.
Jiggers.
I just wish I could have seen that.
And he'd sleep with it.
Yes, sir, he sure did.
Put his head on the pillow.
Yes, lie right by James and sleep. He didn't sleep with his head on the pillow all the time, but right there and sleep.
But you never could train him not to do mischief.
No, ma'am, you can't. That's just into them to do that, and they'll do it. And there's been so many killed on the road.
Yes. The night, you know, they're blind.
Did he get along well with the dog? the coon? Did you have a dog?
Yes.
And they got along?
Yes. And you know, I've been with Marvin, not lately, but I have been with him, you know. I think it's a great sport to get out and kill them.
Cool.
That's right. And darkies are just crazy about them. You can get $1.50, $1.75, $2.25 a piece for them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We used to take the light, and you know, you can shine the eyes, and then they'll take their hands and put them over their eyes just like that.
Oh.
Really? They sure will keep you from shining their eyes. Now, you know anything like that or not be shot?
Yeah.
No.
When they had watermelons in the back of that Bill Wynn, they had so many coons back there. It looked for a while like they weren't going to make the watermelons, but they let up. They just hungry. Bill Wynn said, I just didn't feed my coons. they were pretty well fed, and they didn't bother much afterwards. They poisoned a few, but you know, they never did find but one dead coon that had been poisoned. And they just scattered that poison around there, and they put it in an egg, you know. But you see where they'd been. And they looked like they had just had a picnic back there. They just loved them watermelons. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be nice just to sit there sometime and wait till you see at night when they're just playing. And just watch him play.
I don't know whether it's right to poison anything like that or not. Sometimes I wonder.
Just ought to raise enough extra watermelons for them to have a bait. I was riding back there one day, and a coon came out of the woods and ran up to the
growled at you.
Growled at me. Came up to the horse.
You better be careful about one that's friendly like that.
They might have rabies.
That's right.
Well, I found out this one had a lot of young.
Did your coon ever growl at anybody?
No, sir, not that I know of.
I guess they have to be wild before they do that.
Mine was an old male coon, anyway.
Yeah.
And you know, it looks like he'd leave home, don't it? But he didn't.
Right, is that right?
Of course, he'd go off and stay off in the daytime, but when night come, he'd come home.
Oh, really?
Really. He slept home every night. But he'd go off in the mornings, and he'd be gone all day. I don't know where he went, no, what he'd done, or nothing about it, but he'd come back home when night come.
Did he want inside?
Yes, ma'am. You know how they rack and how they kind of sing like?
No.
Well, they can let you know, just like a dog or a cat.
No, I never heard coon noise.
I never heard a coon make a noise.
Well, he kind of cry like.
Oh.
He come to your door.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Looks like it'd be the other way around. He'd come home and sleep in the daytime and go out at night.
It does, but that's not the way it was. So I guess he was trained that way. But he'd go off in the daytime and come home at night. You know, I got to go. I got a heck of a lot of work to do.
Well, I tell you.
I'll tell you what. I'll go out and work twice as hard as I would have and make up for this.
Yeah.
Just don't do it, Jim.
Just don't do it. Just
They'll be plenty here when we all gone.
Yes, so let's just go outside and enjoy this day.
That's the truth. There'll be plenty of hours to do.
Well, that's the end of this remarkable visit. This Friday, the 2nd of October, 1970, Channel 2 over, around 8:80 or 8:90. Channel 2 over, the end of the reel, and the end of this remarkable visit, this Friday, the 2nd of October, 1970, before lunch and after lunch, and the second side of the tape, this after lunch, that was rich too, just rich. I just didn't know how rich it was. And that's the end of this remarkable, nice visit, long, quiet visit, restful visit. I just felt the need for this visit. Friday, 2nd October, 1970, Channel 2 over, around 900.